Program committee meeting to order at 12:03 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda at this time?
I motion.
Second, this is Carol.
Okay, approval of agenda. Agenda has been approved.
Excuse me, who seconded the motion?
Carol.
Carol moved it, and who was the second?
No, Karen moved it, and
thank you.
Carol second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did we roll call? Did I miss roll call?
Do we have roll call for that one?
Everyone appears to be present.
Okay, I'm all right. My bad.
Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the meeting of September 8th?
I make the motion, Luciano Crespo.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ellen. Yeah, Ellen seconded.
Okay. Andrea, did you get that? It was approved by Luciano and seconded by Ellen?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, moving on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take actions on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion or action. Is there any public comments at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Number one, funding request schedule. I believe the information is in the packet. If anybody has questions, now would be the time to ask. Does anybody have questions? Okay, moving on to the next. Number two, progress and final report schedule. Once again, the information is in the packet. If anybody has questions, I can ask Andrea, now.
Sorry, Andrea, would you scroll down the screen?
There. Thank you.
I do have questions in this. My first question is on page 18. This is regarding grant that we prepared to the Public Health Institute. On page 18, in their accomplishment section, towards the bottom of that page, it says, we will reach out to the Desert Healthcare Foundation for assistance of translation into Spanish. Do we know what kind of assistance do they mean? Like, is it monetary or like us physically translating for them? Or just like help finding a person to help?
With that, I don't think they will be doing the translation. I think they were just wanted a contact, a local contact that might assist them with that. It's not going to be an additional cost. I think the cost is already within the budget itself. I think they just wanted a local contact here that could do the translation of all those documents and any other materials for the project.
Thank you. In this translation, would it be possible for us to also translate into, I'm going to put it out there for people to consider, for us to also translate into Purépecha? I know that the COVID work that we've done in translating to Purépecha has like genuinely been used by people. It has also been requested by people, so if it's not too much of an ask and it's not too heavy of a lift, I'd also like us to consider translating maybe the most vital information community to know, or it's like the most important pieces. It doesn't necessarily have to
Sorry, excuse me, Vice President Borja. We have some feedback in the back. Someone's TV. I'm trying to mute individuals, but it's really hard to hear when you have feedback in the back and then you're speaking too. It appears it's gone. Thank you.
So that would be Mary.
Can you please
if we could ask them to consider translating the most vital parts of this report in the language Purépecha as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a 200-page translation. That's not necessarily what I'm asking. Only the most important things that people, that they think like regular community folks should know about their research.
I think that's something that we could do internally, Vice President Borja, once we do receive the report, because I think that would incur an additional cost on their end. So I think once we do receive that information, I can work with Will and the individual who has been doing the translation of those documents on our website and information to ensure that we do have maybe like a summarized report in Purépecha about the key findings. So yeah, we could definitely do that in-house.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the consideration. My next question, it's not really a question actually, this one's more of a comment, is on page 19. This is in their goal number 2. Under accomplishments, they tell us a little bit about the information that they've researched, but I don't see here any conversations about them having reached out to fire. In the Eastern Coachella Valley, it takes people roughly 40 minutes to get to JFK. So a lot of the times people don't actually go to the emergency room for their asthma attacks. They just end up calling the fire station, which is a lot closer. And so I know when I was doing work out in the North Shore area, the people who I had to lean on for some of this information was the fire station on just like emergency codes, how often they go out. I believe one of their like very shocking numbers is that more than 50% of their calls aren't actually for fire. They're for medical emergencies. So I would highly consider us asking them to go in and talk to CAL FIRE in the unincorporated areas and maybe even Coachella if they're doing work there, about asthma attacks and emergencies that fire has to respond to regarding air quality.
Definitely, yeah. I will go ahead and pass that information to Paul English, who is spearheading this project, to ensure that he does reach out to CAL FIRE to get that data. Great, great feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Alejandro. And then my last sort of comment in this work is for Jewish Family Services of the Desert. I just want to give them like a really big public thanks. I have been sending a lot of people who have been reaching out, needing like resources of all sorts from mental health to money out to Jewish Family Services. And a couple of people have responded back and said, thank you so much. Like they were actually able to help us. In their report, they tell us that 98%, I think this is towards the end, 98% of the people they've surveyed had their emergency crisis resolved. And I can like attest to that because people have been getting back to me and telling me, yes, they were actually able to help me. So I just want to say thank you to the Jewish Family Services for being a very, very much needed resource in these times for our community members and always.
You'll be seeing them again because once this grant is final, they were going to be coming back with another LOI for the same service.
That's it. Those were all my comments.
I have some questions.
Okay, Carol.
On page 25, we talked about outstanding grants and grant payment schedules. And I noticed that CVRM and Neurovitality Center and Desert Cancer, no, I'm not Desert Cancer. Regents of UCR. No, that one's okay. The two CV Coachella Valley RM, CVRM, I'm trying to find here where I am. Volunteers in Medicine. I noticed that those grants started in early of the year. And do we wait until, you know, when do they draw down on it? I'm puzzled that they still have the same amount of money that we brought forward and that they haven't claimed yet. What's the process for that?
Which one in particular are you talking about, Carol, please? I'm sorry.
Well, Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine response to COVID-19 is the same amount grant. No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. My notes are funny here.
It's got the grant ID number. The second number is the grant ID number.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Coachella Valley Volunteers of Medicine. Are you looking at the third one down, which is 985 for $121,500?
No, actually, I'm looking at the balance forward on the grants. That it does. It looks like we haven't paid them.
A lot of these are.
What
a lot of these can be. Some of these can be 10% retentions, and so until we get their final report, then they get their and they have expanded all the funds, then they get their and we look at their budget progress report. Then they get their 10% retention. Neurovitality is actually closed. We closed that one, but a lot of times these don't come off the books until the end of the fiscal year. Come off this chart. They had unexpended grant funds. What was the other one you're asking about? Coachella Valley Rescue Mission?
Volunteers in Medicine, but I see that one's paid, so that one's okay. I was just wondering what the process is.
They get their payment and they submit progress reports, and we go over their progress reports and their budget progress reports to make sure the receipts are all in order. When we get all those and process them, if they're entitled to an advance check, then they get that.
I got it. Okay. And then my next question is amounts available remaining for grant programs, amount budgeted. Can you go through those with the mini grants? What does 1132 mean? Financial
is, 1132 is the actual mini grant number, and that one is the visibility compromiso mini grant.
And then grants not used, 1021, I gather that's from Neurovitality.
Yes.
Okay. And and then the strategic focus areas, we've got, we asked it, you put them in buckets for us, and I see they're in buckets, but I don't understand. So, for instance, we've granted $500,000 grant budget. That's for this fiscal year. But I thought we had funds left over from last fiscal year as well.
What was granted is this fiscal year, like the 526,240, 500 of that is from the district to the Foundation for the Black Communities Initiative. There's the $5,000 mini grant is in there for the Visione Compromiso. Let me see if I can find my chart now, because it's funny you should ask that, because I just went over that with Eric last week, and he broke it all out and explained it to me. Let me see if I can find it. Where did it go? Freaking papers around here, it's driving me nuts.
No hurry.
Okay, here we go. So the $500,000 was from the district to the Foundation for the Black Communities Initiative. The other $5,000 of that, of the 526,240, is the mini grant to Visione Compromiso. $50,000 to Cal State for the nursing curriculum for the street medicine project. And then the $28,760 came back from Neurovitality Center. So that adds up to the 526,240. The other 3,000 is actually.
And then, so. Go ahead.
The 3,000 that's in bucket number 5, that is kind of a placeholder. Eric and Chris were going to discuss that. That's actually the cost we are paying Lunn and Guthrie to do the audit for Alianza. We did have a separate line item for that, $50,000, but maybe it's just a placeholder to put it into that particular bucket. Chris and Eric were going to review that, so that's what that is.
And then those funds are being transferred from the district to the foundation. Is that the point you made?
The $500,000 was, yes. Yeah. On health. On the
okay, thank you.
Service. Okay.
Good.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions about the grant payment schedule or the final report schedule? Hearing none, I'll move on to program staff updates, community health needs assessment, and health improvement plan. Is there any new information on this?
Yes, I'm just going to provide a quick update on the progress of our focus groups. As of yesterday, we have conducted 13 with members across the community. Just a reminder, this is residents. We're not doing anything with service providers right now outside of our advisory council and steering committee. Their part will more come into play in the health improvement plan. So these are residents. And across the 13 focus groups, we had 66 participants. 41 of them came from English-speaking focus groups, and then 25 from the Spanish-speaking. We're at about 50-50 for offering focus groups in Spanish versus English. Just depends on the advisory council member that we're working with and what they think is best for their residents. And in the next 2 weeks, we have 8 additional focus groups scheduled, and we're waiting to hear about from 9 more on some of the logistics, just picking an appropriate date and time. So we're hoping to wrap these up in the next few weeks and just try to reach as many as we can. And then we're also going to look at next week, kind of seeing what populations we have targeted and see if there's any gaps, and then try to find another way to reach out to those either through the advisory council or conducting just some open focus groups, just to make sure that we're getting as many different populations as we can throughout the whole community.
Okay, thank you, Megan. Does anybody have any questions for Megan? Hearing none, I'll move on to Live to Rise Rental Assistance Program enrollment events. Does anyone have any new information about this?
Yeah, I'll be talking about this. I've been participating in the Live to Rise events that they've had so far. We've hosted events in the city of Indio at the rec center, in Desert Hot Springs at the Coachella Valley Housing Coalition. They have two apartment complexes there, so we were able to actually host the event at each of the apartment complexes. We also did an event out in North Shore at Reyes Market, which was very well attended. And this last week, we just did the event in Cathedral City. At each site, we're averaging about 100 families that are, doing the application process. And this week, we're in the city of Coachella. We'll be at the library starting tomorrow from 4 to 9 p.m. and then Saturday from 8 to 3 p.m. I received an email this morning from the Live to Rise staff saying that that they have pretty much reached the capacity for the families that are able to enroll into this program. So the program has been very, very, very successful. The in-person enrollment events have been very successful. Like I mentioned, we're averaging about 100 families that qualify at each of the events, and not taking into consideration families that apply online or via telephone through their assistance line that Live to Rise and the United Way of the Desert have established. So with that being said, so this week will be the last of the events that they'll be hosting. Unfortunately, we're gonna have to cancel some of the events that we had scheduled in other areas of the Valley because of the demand was so great initially, and we've been doing such a good job enrolling these families in the in-person events. And we have families that drive out, from, for example, we had the event, this Saturday in Cathedral City. We had folks coming from Mecca. We had folks coming from Coachella. We even have folks coming from Blythe that drove out. We had folks coming out from Hemet. So these events have been really, really well attended. You know, we have great community partners that have given us, you know, space for us to do these events. So overall, they've been an overwhelming success.
Excuse me, Alejandro, I just had a quick question. I didn't realize, but that's good, I guess, that we actually, the program expanded outside of the Coachella Valley?
Yes, actually, it's Riverside County. So these funds are available for any resident within Riverside County. Live to Rise has been doing work in Blythe and also in Beaumont and Banning. And I think in some areas in the high desert, like Yucca Valley. So they're reaching out beyond the Coachella Valley. So, and I think that's why, you know, the program itself pretty much blew through the $33 million that were set aside for this program.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Does anyone have questions for Alejandro? Hearing none, we'll move on to Coachella Valley Health Information Place.
This is Carol. I wanted to make a comment about the Lift to Rise program. In addition to the financial assistance, they also been very successful at helping people with placement and other social services and referrals to our nonprofits in the community. So, in addition to their rental assistance program, they are doing remarkable social service work as well.
And that's a great segue, Carol, into CVHIP. You know, the reason why we've been really successful at these events, you know, connecting folks with other services is because I was able to train the Live to Rise enrollment counselors on CVHIP. So all of them are utilizing CVHIP to connect folks to additional services that they might need outside of the, you know, the rental assistance program. And that is reflective in our, thank you, Carol. And that is reflective on our analytics. Right now we have seen a tremendous spike in the last, I would say 60 days in our analytics on CVHIP. Right now we're averaging 1,100 monthly users. We're averaging about 35 people that are utilizing our CVHIP portal daily. So that is a significant increase in our events. We do have a table with CVHIP brochures, and like I mentioned, the enrollment counselors are trained on the CVHIP platform, so they're able to provide that information via text message, email, or, you know, we do have printers on site, so they're able to print out these resources as they need them. So, and in addition to that, I've also been doing, I did a podcast with Pico de Gallo, and it's on our website if you guys want to check it out, with Marcos Palma, who has, you know, who does really, really great work out in the East Valley, you know, promoting a lot of social services that are offered for the community. So I was able to do a podcast with them, and I think the last time I checked, it had 1,500 views. It was in Spanish, and he was also able to do two little promo videos, you know, 10-second videos for in English and Spanish promoting CVHIP. So I met him at a park in Coachella, and we were able to do, you know, to tape those promo videos in English and Spanish. So, and here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be, we're going to be emailing our first CVHIP newsletter. We're going to do these quarterly to keep, you know, our community partners that I presented to and I shared the CVHIP platform with, to keep them updated on, you know, new features and capabilities that are pretty much coming on every couple of weeks. You know, the platform itself is just getting better and better. So via this newsletter, we're going to be able to share you know, those updates and just kind of keep, you know, these individuals that have been part of a presentation or a training that I've provided, just keep them engaged and keep them up to date and keep CVHIP in their mind when they're looking for resources. So, and we also have a CVHIP Facebook page. We're doing two weekly posts highlighting, you know, different resources here within the community to just once again, reach out, you know, to our CVHIP you know, Facebook page followers. So a lot of stuff happening with CBHIP. Any questions? Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alejandro, for your information. So hearing no questions or comments, we'll move on to policy mapping, website placement, and demonstration. Is there any new information on this?
Yeah. So this is a policy map. I wondered if, Andrea, if you could just allow me to share my screen really quickly. Wonderful. Thank you. So policy map. I still don't have it, Andrea. Can you?
My apologies. Let me make you a, there you are. There you go.
So we have embedded our policy map widget. And instead of me trying to explain to you something that's, you know, web-based, I'd rather show you. So in our website, you'll be able to find it under menu, our Coachella Valley data mapping. You click on here, it's gonna take you directly to the widget. And the widget allows you to, we have 30 data layers and 10 data points that we have housed within this widget. And I'm gonna show you this video. You know, Megan and I were working with Will and developing, you know, a constant contact email that was sent out to our constant contact list, you know, announcing that we have this, you know, widget in our webpage. And we also created this video to just kind of show the community and our community partners how to utilize this, you know, very, very useful data tool on our website. So I'll play the video. It's a really short video. You have any questions, let me know. Can you guys see the video on here popping up? Okay, cool.
Coachella Valley data mapping webpage. The district wanted to incorporate an interactive rehabilitation mapping platform on our website to provide a data resource for a local community organization. The Coachella Valley data mapping tool is a reliable, up-to-date geographic data mapping platform that organizations can freely access through dhcd.org. The tool can be utilized for nonprofits as the data can be narrowed down to cities, zip codes, and census tracts that may help to identify gaps in services, areas, access points, and their work. At the onset of the mapping tool, you will see a red boundary that denotes the Better Healthcare Districts and Foundations geographic boundaries within the Coachella Valley. The map is interactive, so users can zoom in and out by using the zoom bar or using the mouse wheel key or double-clicking the left or right mouse button. Pan around by clicking and dragging the map, or get information about a place by clicking on the map. To start, specify a location. With the location search bar located on the top left-hand side of the mapping tool, you can quickly find and position the map to different locations. You can search for locations by an address, a type of geography, such as a zip code, city, county, or state, or use the drop-down menu on the left to select or search for census tracts, block groups, congressional districts, school districts, state legislative boundaries, or metro areas. The location search bar is used to navigate the map to a specific location or add a location to the table.
All right. So, so you guys get the idea. I did the voiceover. You guys don't recognize the voice. it took me a while. You know, thanks to Megan, you know, we were able to get a really good script and just highlight, you know, the main features within this that data mapping tool. And, you know, we were, like, once again, I mentioned we were able to share it with our constant contact list. So they have the information, and so far we've had 85 visitors to the actual link. So we're very happy with that. The next step is to reach out to some community organizations, because we do have, as part of our policy map contract, we were able to get 10 universal licenses that kind of pretty much go beyond what we have on this widget. And they're able to get really, really in-depth data sets and information. So Megan and I will be working to identify with Donna to identify some of these organizations where we could actually, provide them with this universal license in order for them to help them, in their grant making process or just, research that they're doing on a daily basis. So whenever you guys get a chance, just go on there, click on menu. You'll see that it's Coachella Valley Data Mapping Tool. You can listen to the rest of the, tutorial video. And if you guys have any questions, please send them my way or Megan's way.
Thank you very much, Alejandro. Any questions for Alejandro at the moment?
Did I miss anything, Megan?
No, you're good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on to committee member comments. Does anybody have any committee? Any member comments?
I guess the only
none, I guess we'll adjourn.
Sorry, the only one, the Eastern Coachella Valley Pride event is happening this Friday. They are taking off from Coachella Veterans Park. You can find out more through Alianza on Facebook.
That's it. Okay. Thank you. Does anybody else have any comments? Hearing none, we'll turn the meeting at 35 and go directly into the foundation meeting. So I will call the foundation meeting to order at 12:35 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve. This is good.
Okay, did anyone second?
I can second. This is Carol.
Okay, so it was approved by Karen and seconded by Carol. Moving on to meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the meeting on September 8th, 2020?
I move to approve. This is Carol.
I second.
Okay, so the meeting minutes were approved by Carol and seconded by Karen. At this time, comments from the audience can be made on items listed on the agenda that are in public interest and within subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda, but they could be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any comments from the public at this time?
There are no public comments from the public.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to old business since there's nothing, there's no new business.
May I add something to new business? Yes, please.
Okay.
This is a rapidly happening event, and by the time that we completed this agenda and board packet, we didn't have the information available that we have today. The Department of Public Health in Riverside County has initiated conversations with us representing both the district and the foundation, but the funding will come through the foundation to allocate $1 million to the Desert Healthcare Foundation to assist with COVID-19 testing in unincorporated areas of Eastern Coachella Valley primarily. We will be a fiscal intermediary and also play a role in coordinating some of the activities with a number of partners that are being identified by the county. The foundation will be paid $150,000 to do this work, and we have $500,000 that we need to allocate and spend between now and December 31st, and the other $500,000 between January 1st and June 30th. So they are asking us to have an expedited process. We don't know what that exactly means, but it's very likely that we will have to bypass bringing all the contracts to program committee and then to the board meeting, because if we follow that process, it means that the funding will be in the hands of our grantees maybe in December, and they will have to spend $500,000 in 2 weeks, which is not realistic. I just want to bring this to your attention. We will be having additional conversations as this is rapidly evolving. We got the documents or draft documents from the Department of Public Health last night.
Is there a reason why it needs to be spent before December?
Because it is CARES funding, is funding that's coming from the federal government, and they have that tight timeline. To be honest, I think that the department tried to do this on their own, and they realized that they didn't have the knowledge, the expertise, and they were not as fast as they wanted to be in deploying these funds. And they realized that it's a complex situation. There are too many parties involved, and everybody will make meaningful contributions, but it requires the coordination and the in-depth knowledge that I believe we at the district and at the foundation have, that the Department of Public Health probably doesn't have.
If we can't spend these $500,000 before December, are the next $500,000 promised already? Or can that change?
Yes. Yes. They're promised already to us.
And my last question for right now. This can only be spent on testing or on anything related to COVID?
Oh no, it's actually for education and outreach. The plan is that we will be coordinating the testing sites, and the Department of Public Health and local federally qualified health centers will provide the actual tests. But a number of organizations, and that includes Alianza and the diocese, the Catholic diocese in Coachella Valley, and many other organizations, Líderes Campesinas, Leadership Council, you name it. They all will be contributing to the outreach in our communities and making sure that they come to the testing site. Now, there is another component of that, and is addressing the barriers why people are not coming to the tests. If we put ourselves in the shoes of a farm worker that may or may not have symptoms, but they fear that if their test is positive, they will have to stop working and providing for their families. So how do we overcome that? And we will be coordinating additional social support for those that test positive, so that they will have income supplement that they will have access to food, that they will have access to healthcare, that they will have assistance with their utilities, all those things that we know are so important and that are preventing people from getting tested, so that they will have all that support on behalf of the community. And, you know, there will be funding for that TOLIG is managing for rental assistance, Live to Rise. There will be other organizations that will be contributing to this effort, and we will be pretty much coordinating that our community members will have access to all those other services.
Thank you.
Welcome.
This is Carol. I have a question. I heard you say that the testing was going to be done in unincorporated areas, but people can travel to these areas to be tested, correct? I mean, you're not limiting people by address, by residence. You're just offering testing in unincorporated areas. Is that true?
It may be true, but the effort will be very targeted to farm workers and people living in isolated areas of the unincorporated Eastern Coachella Valley. The county is deploying other resources through their own capacity and through other agencies that are doing testing. For example, in Palm Springs, we have free COVID-19 testing this week at the convention center. Anyone can access that. They will have, like that event, they will have events throughout the valley. And in some areas, the urban areas, it's easier to have access to these things, to these events. But in the rural areas where there is less concentration of community members, is going to be more difficult. So it's going to be very targeted. One of the first tasks that we will be doing is completing a mapping, an assets mapping in the community to identify what are the largest pockets of communities, and also trying to work with the growers so that we can bring testing resources into the fields and get people tested there.
Good. So what do you need from us, Conrado? I know board meeting is on October 27th, and that is a few weeks away. Is this something that you need to put a shorter date on it?
Well, as I said, this is rapidly happening. We don't have all the information yet. We just received a draft of the scope of work, and our team is meeting this afternoon to assess how we can fill in the blanks and what information we can provide back to the Department of Public Health. And also, we have a list of many questions about how they intend to deploy these funds, how much for which organizations. Also, I believe we cannot use CARES dollars for incentives, but I think we should have some discretionary capacity to sponsor events or things like that that will encourage people to participate in the testing efforts. For example, I'll give you a concrete example. If we, one of the most difficult places where we can have a testing site is in a field, because the growers have many concerns about legal liabilities, and there has been some challenging relationship between some community-based organizations and the growers and demands and stuff like that. But we have a healthy relationship with growing CV. And I think that we would like to explore if we let's say that we sponsor a breakfast or a lunch, and we can hire community taquerias that can bring their tacos into a field, that becomes more of a gathering opportunity to bring people into the testing site and get everybody on that field tested that day. That will really have an impressive impact on how we can test our community members that today are not doing it, and eliminating many of the barriers, like the time in which they can get tested. They don't have to travel to any drive-through place. It's going to be much easier for them. And especially if we can provide all the other social support that they will need after they get tested and a test comes back positive, I think that we will be making a change in the situation we're facing here in Coachella Valley.
Do you have any idea of them?
I'm sorry,
what
Carol.
We're talking about?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any idea of the numbers of people that we're targeting? And is there any estimate?
We have the data. We don't have the specific number at this time, but we will have it very soon.
Thank you. So what do you need from us?
For now that you are informed of this developing situation, and I believe that at some point we will be identifying how much funding we want to leverage from the foundation that could be used to provide incentives or sponsor events, things like the example that I just gave.
So maybe we could be notified, the program committee could be notified of the progress, and then maybe have a joint program committee board meeting to approve it. Would that work?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know how that will work if the program committee and the board members are the same. I think so what's important is that we have the mechanisms to keep informing the program committee of what is happening and provide input and guidance on the activities that are taking place.
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
So as I hear you speaking,
okay, just...
yeah, COVID has already facilitated some meetings for people in the Eastern Coachella Valley. The CVUSD meals program, I'm not sure what their numbers look like. I know at the beginning, a lot of people were looking for meals. The second piece is Find Food Bank. They've been traveling around both to the school districts and to just random parts of the Eastern Coachella Valley. I know they always solicit a lot of people. So figuring out how we could do mobile pop-ups with some of these folks who already have a base of farm workers coming to them might be very smart. Mobile homes, I know if you talk to Ryan St. Clair, he can very easily pull out his map and show you where the bigger mobile homes are. Also, the mini marts out in the Eastern Coachella Valley play a really large role of daily life. It might be interesting if you're talking about incentives. Every family that gets tested will give you a $25 whatever meal card to the mini mart here locally in your community, something or other, if that's possible or not. Just random ideas that come up. Some of these things I've tried in the past and they do work. Just got to contact the right people.
Yes, absolutely.
And those are some of the targeted events we're thinking about. You know, Vice President Borja, is where do we have a captive audience? What we could kind of piggyback some of these events with? From the actually doing them there on site at different, mobile home parks or mini marts, or even outside of the churches. If the churches, Catholic Charities is one of the organizations that Conrado has been, in conversations with the county. So I think kind of flexing some of those different relationships, I think will give us, access to some of these sites.
The last idea that comes to mind that I know has been good for us here in Indio is that permanent site at the fairgrounds. Could something like that be done at the Mecca Farmworker Station with Clinicas or at the Galilee Center with anybody else, where you just have a permanent testing site between now and the time all of this money runs out, where people can just swing in before work? Like, we have to be amicable to maybe waking up a little earlier. And of course, I'm not going to be the one testing, so it's not on me, right, to show up early. But waking up early enough where people can go before work, and then staying up late enough, or, you know, 3, 4 p.m. where people can catch you, farm workers can catch you after work. But just having a permanent site. I know I've gotten tested, I think, 3 times now at the Indio Fairgrounds, just because I know it's 2 blocks down from my street. I know they're open all the time. I know I don't need an appointment. I mean, I do, but I show up without one and they'll take me anyways, right? And I know I can get my test results within a week. So having like that understanding of permanence may also be really helpful in this instance of just finding one location, middle of the Eastern Coachella Valley, a place where people travel to often enough. And we already have some very good partners who may already be doing some of this work.
See that Greg has his hand raised on our...
Good ideas, Karen.
We do have a public comment. If Yvette is done with all of
the director's comments.
I believe we are, right? Does any other director have a comment? I don't. Okay, so we can hear Greg's comment.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Greg.
Karen, incredible suggestions. I just kind of wanted to touch base. As Conrado says, this is a really fast-moving project, although the county's been working on this for a few weeks now. So it's not only going to be the healthcare district involved with this, it's other community-based organizations. And I know a lot of those conversations are happening on creative locations, and the ones you listed are exactly the conversations that the supervisor and I have been having with the county on what we can do. So we're glad they're implementing that. I just wanted to really address really quickly the permanent sites. You know, initially we had a permanent site in Mecca that was not utilized whatsoever. And then the Coachella one really dropped in numbers too. What we're finding is not just in the Eastern Valley, but Indio's numbers are half of what they used to be. Cathedral City was down to only about 50 a day, where we were at 300 at a point. And we're seeing this across the county, is that the permanent sites are not seeing the traffic that they did. We're going to keep most of those open, especially the Indio one. But what we're seeing is the real need, especially if we look at the clusters of where positives are coming from, and that to Conrado's part is really looking at how we target those. How do we go to those places? And so your suggestions are awesome, and that's what we need to look at, is where their clusters are big, especially like in ag communities or, you know, packing plants, et cetera, that we do that targeting thing.
Okay, thank you, Greg, for your comment. Is there any more comments on this new business or questions? Hearing none, I'll move into old business with the homeless initiative. Is there any new information about the homeless initiative? No? Since there's none, we'll move on to the number 2 behavioral health initiative. Save the date, Thursday, October 29, 2020 at 11 a.m. for the green ribbon cutting meeting. Is anyone speaking on that topic?
This is just a continuation from when we had the last meeting, which was back in December. So it's more going to be of an update of what's going on. Greg is preparing an agenda, and he's been getting some pretty good response of those who have said they would save the date. And I don't know, Greg, if you wanted to add a little bit more to that at all.
Yeah, I just, what to Donna's point is it's been a while, and a lot of that's because of COVID, but we really, you know, Roy's Resource Center is open now, and so we're going to have a great update and presentation on how that facility not only operates and looks, but how it fits within the greater continuum of behavioral health care for severe behavioral health issues and even mild ones, and how that pipeline helps with the homeless pipeline as well in behavioral health treatment. And then also we're planning on doing a presentation on the effect of COVID-19 on behavioral health and substance use. We're finally getting some data that was hard to get. And so Dr. Chang and his team will be working on that. And then I'm working with Donna to maybe address a couple other issues, but that's really kind of it. We're looking forward to getting back on track with that though.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions for either Donna or Greg? Hearing none, we'll move on to advancing the district role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley. Part A, request for proposals. Who will be speaking on the request for proposals?
I guess I could. The request for proposals has been completed. It was out. Megan jumped in because Megan was a big part of putting this together. Went out and was posted on our website October 1st. They're due November 2nd, I believe. We haven't received any yet, but that could be because they have until November 2nd to send them in. We did put the request for proposals in your packet just so you can see the meat or the coconut, so to speak, of what it was all about and what we're asking for the service providers to provide.
Okay. Does anyone have questions for Donna about the RFP?
I have a question for Donna. This is Carol. Has there been any interest expressed from any of the organizations? Have you heard?
Not yet. We submit to info at DHCD. We haven't received anything yet, at least as of when Megan and I were speaking the other day. Megan, I don't think we got anything in yet, did we?
No.
Well, but then we figure they've got until November 2nd to turn them in, so they still have a couple weeks probably working on it.
Have you ever had the practice of holding maybe bidders conference or an educational meeting for people who may be interested that you might invite to participate?
We had originally talked about having a bidders conference, which was necessary when we put out the RFP for the community health needs assessment, because that went national. This is going to be more specific to actual licensed healthcare service providers to do a new access point. So it could be limited on who we would be receiving RFPs from as well.
And we know that there are at least two organizations that are working on a proposal, Carol.
Thank you.
Can you tell me what you mean by be exempt from federal taxation under Section 501c3 of the IRS code? What does that mean?
That they need to be a nonprofit or exempt as a 501c3?
They either have to be one or they don't have to be one?
No, they do have to be one.
Okay.
Except, yeah, so if it's like an FQHC, they are different.
And then my next question is, can you give me a few examples of the type of proposals we would like to see? Like, is it a blood bank? Is it a hair loss clinic? I was trying to like picture what it may look like physically in the community of Desert Highlands, coming up short.
We don't, in a way, that's why we put the request for proposal out. We want them to be a licensed healthcare provider, service provider, to develop a new access point, but that
we don't know what that may look like, how they are would be crafting what an access point would look like. Go ahead, Megan, you were going to say something.
Yeah, it's basically what Donna just said. We have the four goals. Yes, they are very broad, and that's because we want people to look at the three needs assessments that have been done. That's why the links were included in there, and kind of see what has already been done, what has already been uplifted by the community in regards to healthcare access specifically, and then come back to us with strategies, because we didn't want to say we want a mobile clinic and only people that could, you know, have the capacity to build or bring a mobile clinic, because they may have strategies that, you know, we aren't aware of, or relationships in the community where they might have, you know, ideas that they've been working on, but funding hasn't been available. So it is pretty broad. I definitely see that, but that's where we kind of put those four goals. We're just really hoping for some creative, innovative ideas with that 500,000. And that's why we also highlighted working with the Desert Highland Gateway residents specifically. The collaboration is a key component of that piece, and it will be for applicants submitting some collaboration efforts. You know, they will be given more preference, because it's not a just one stop, one organization comes in and thinks they can solve the problem. It's definitely like several components.
And my last question, will we be giving these funds to one organization, or as we see fit and as proposals request?
That is a good question. Most likely, I'm assuming, but you know what assume means, it would be one organization that would be able to handle all the goals that are required.
I guess that would be up to the committee's discretion, right?
Yeah.
We see multiple proposals that we like.
We can figure. And these aren't grants, so they would actually be, you know, a vendor contract versus an actual grant.
This is Carol. Highlands Gateway in operation, and are we communicating with them?
Oh yes, we actually had Dieter review the RFP. There's a meeting tonight with their wellness committee, or they changed the name of the wellness committee, but I can't remember what the name of it is now. That will be discussed at the Zoom meeting tonight with Desert Highland Gateway. So they're very much aware. And in partnership.
Okay, does anyone else have any more questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to part B of three, expanding racial diversity in the health profession workforce. 100,000 won future Coachella Valley Black and African American healthcare student scholarships.
Yes, they've sent in a preliminary draft of what it would look like for the scholarship program, and they are now in the process of developing a more a scope of work, which would be more what we're looking for, more complete. So we should be getting that soon too.
Okay. Does anyone have questions for Donna on this matter?
Who are we getting this from, Donna?
One Future, Coachella Valley.
Yes.
The organization program that have already a scholarship program. Right. In place. Yes.
Sure. Now I understand.
Okay. Does anyone else have questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to grant payment schedule. I believe the information is in the packet. If anyone has any questions, please ask now. Carol?
This is Carol. I had a question. That, for instance, the amounts available remaining for grants, I see that the numbers are there, and I'm wondering, for instance, West Valley Homeless Initiative. That is something that's budgeted, and do we have an RFP that's going out for programs like that?
No.
So how are we going to, is staff actively identifying ways that we might be able to offer those grants?
Well, we do have, in the district side, grants for homelessness, as you know, $500,000. This was the initiative that started way back when with the match with CVAG and the cities. So without maybe tipping a hat, I believe they will be coming back and asking for another match to match the cities. So that would be coming out of that for CB Heart.
Okay, I understand what Ben, with that. Right, I understand what that's for then.
Okay, does anyone else have questions? Hearing no questions, we'll move on to the committee member comments. Does anyone have a comment at this time? Hearing no comments, we'll adjourn. Our next.
I'm looking at my notes and I see I've written down on.
What is it, Carol?
Sorry about that. I was on grant number 1034, homeless crisis team. It says the city of Palm Springs is going to modify its level of participation. Can we get an idea of what that means?
Donna, do you have any information about that?
Can you please explain what where are we now? I'm sorry.
We're on grant number 1034, homeless crisis teams.
Yes.
The city of Palm Springs. It says in the description that their Palm Springs is going to modify its level of participation in homeless outreach. Does that mean that those funds are going to be unexpended, or, you know?
No, and actually, I don't know what that means, but if you go back to the district where I put in the progress reports, the City of Palm Springs progress report is in there. When they came to us, they had said that the city was not going to pick up the portion of the second mental health housing team, but now they have. So now we have a complete housing team still. So the match is still there. There it is right there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there any more questions about the grant portion? What about committee member comments? Hearing none, I'll move to adjournment of the meeting at 1:12 p.m. Our next scheduled meeting will be on November 10th, 2020. Thank you all for your hard work. And see you at the board meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Yvette.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you.